The Download on 720 WGN. Matt Bubala in for Justin Kaufman tonight. I'm here till 11 when our friend Patty Vasquez will join the show and jump on the air with Pretty Late with Patty. Joining us on the phone right now is a man who is probably the greatest single ball hawk of all time. I think he can lay claim to that. Zach Hampel. Hey, Zach, how are you tonight? Nope, I got the wrong. There you are, bud. Hey, thanks. I'm sorry, I had the wrong pot up, so we didn't hear you there at the beginning. Thanks for joining the show, Zach. I last spoke to you on the air here at WGN Radio, I think it was 2 years ago, when A-Rod hit his 3,000th hit, right?
That is correct. It seems I talk to you guys whenever something big happens. There was something recent for me, which is notable more to me than to other people, but nevertheless, I'm pretty psyched about it.
We'll get to that in a second. Let me relive. The last time we talked, A-Rod's 3,000th hit was a home run that you happened to catch, right?
That's right. A lot of people actually, knowing that I got the ball, they say, that was a home run, right? And it's like, well, yeah, I didn't run onto the field and scoop it up in front of the outfielder. I guess it could have been a ground rule double, but yeah.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. Jeter's 3,000th hit was also a home run, right?
That is correct, and I sort of kind of had a chance to catch that and mess that up, though it sort of wasn't my fault, but it kind of was, and that'll always haunt me.
It's crazy to think about. So you said that there was another milestone, one that's more personal for you. How many baseballs have you now gotten at a Major League Baseball game, Zach?
Exactly 10,000.
10,000 baseballs. Now, I have been in my life, I don't get to go to the games all the time, but I've probably been to, I would think, close to 100 games in my life overall. I have one time had a foul ball pass through my hands. I was at Fenway Park, and it was years ago now. It was like 20 years ago, and I've always regretted that that ball got away because nothing is cooler than getting a baseball at a baseball game. You've had 10,000 of them. And you write about it. You will teach people how to do it for a fee. You donate a ton of stuff. And with the let's jump back to A-Rod for a second. I spoke to you, and that night you didn't know what you were going to do with the ball. You didn't hand it back right away, and you were a little bit torn about it. And you ended up getting the Yankees to donate $150,000 to a charity that you work with to get the ball back. Is that right?
That is right. Yeah, it was just such a crazy situation at the time. I remember I did, I think, 16 different interviews in the 24 hours after I got the ball. And for, I guess, a day or two after I got it, I was getting about 100 Twitter notifications per minute. It was, and most of it was negative, so I just stopped looking at it.
Sure.
Evidently, there were some death threats in there. And even when I started talking to the Yankees about how to get the ball back to A-Rod in exchange for the donation, that wasn't supposed to be public info. So I had people bashing me for being selfish and, you know, give A-Rod the ball that he deserves. Other people were like, well, you deserve it. You're the one that caught it, which I think is accurate. But I was still trying to orchestrate something to give back to the baseball world, but I couldn't talk about it. So I had a lot of people still accusing me of being this awful person. It's like, well, I'm trying to do this nice thing, but the Yankees said, we want to be the ones to announce it, so please stay quiet about it. It was just a very awkward time where I was caught in the middle, and basically no matter what I did, I was going to get criticism for it. So ultimately, I chose the thing that made me feel best.
Well, and it's kind of the way you lead your life, Zach. You are a bit of a polarizing figure, and I'm sure you have trouble figuring out why that is. You're just a guy that likes going to baseball games and catching baseballs, and it's kind of just a passion of yours, and you've become really, really good at it. There was just a piece on you on Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel, aired like a week or so ago on HBO. When I emailed you last week, you said you hadn't seen it yet. Have you seen the piece yet?
I have still not seen it. I don't have HBO. I was at a Royals game in Kansas City the night that it aired, and I had people email me and offer to send me login info if I want to check it out, but I didn't. Maybe I'll watch it someday, but I heard enough about it from various friends, and I'm really not too happy with what I've heard. I mean, everything that we just talked about with A-Rod, that was basically not in the piece at all. Evidently, they made it seem that I did not give the ball to him, and there was no mention in this segment of anything charitable. You'd think that maybe the centerpiece of my entire life as a baseball person would have been covered fully and accurately the fact that I gave him the ball and the Yankees donated all this money. But for some reason, they chose to leave that out. And I think it's stuff like that that makes me polarizing, I think, because it's like time and time again, the media, it's like they need to have a villain to make the story more appealing. And look, I've certainly done and said some stupid things. I tweeted something rude to A-Rod the day before I got that ball, which then got out there and got retweeted and screenshotted, and that brought a lot of negativity on, and that was really embarrassing. And I apologized to A-Rod for it twice, and he said that he forgave me. And I've done some other questionable things, but a lot of the time, it's just really bizarre how, you know, good news doesn't get the clicks. It doesn't bring the ad revenue. So it's like if you can portray someone as being this awful negative person, you're going to have more readers or viewers. And it's just unfortunate.
All right, all right. I'm going to let you beat up on the media only so much here, Zach, because I'm part of it. But let me say this, though. There are your detractors out there, and that's why that is covered, because there are guys like the HBO piece had a guy, I think, from Deadspin who doesn't like you. But the overriding idea is you're an adult out here running around getting baseballs that people would like to see going to kids. Now, what people don't know is that you give away balls all the time to kids, and you're, for a fee, willing to teach kids how to ball hawk and get balls at games. But you are pretty charitable. You got the Yankees to give $150,000 for that ball. And you've worked, in fact, you've done sponsored tours before for, and who is the charity that you've worked with? We didn't say the name. What's the charity that you like to get money to?
It's called Pitch In for Baseball, and they just provide baseball and softball equipment to underprivileged kids and communities all over the world.
So when they got $150,000, I think I read in another online piece on you that that was like their budget for a year. I mean, that was an insane amount of money to get the Yankees to give to them, wasn't it?
Yes, that was huge. It was a game changer, to quote the director of the charity, because they're not a huge organization. Even though they do work with MLB and Little League, and you know they have some huge partnerships, but their budget is not humongous. So yeah, that money made a huge difference for them and really helped a lot of kids.
How did you first start doing this, Zach? Were you just a kid going to the games and thought, man, wouldn't it be cool? How did you first decide, I am going to, you know, not just have it fall in my lap, but I'm going to figure out how I can get baseballs, not just like cajole players into giving you one, but getting them during the games? That's an art. When did you first decide to start figuring out how to do that?
I wanted to catch a ball from the time I was little, and I had no clue, and I went empty-handed home from games for six solid years, ages 6 to 12, and I finally saw an article in a baseball card magazine that talked about attending batting practice and how that's really just the best way to maximize having fun at a game. You can get autographs and baseballs, and it was like, oh, really? And it just kind of went from there. I snagged two baseballs at my first batting practice. They were toss-ups at Shea Stadium, and from there I just wanted to catch one during a game, and I kept going and I kept going whenever I could. And I just realized that righties are more likely to hit balls in a certain place and lefties will hit it to a different spot. And obviously if I have a little room to move around, that increases my chances. And the strategies really just grew from there.
Now it's gotten to the point where you've gotten 10,000 balls. Now, when we say 10,000, does that include balls that were thrown to you, foul balls, batting practice balls? Does that include the whole smorgasbord that you've gotten?
Yeah, that does include everything. I've gotten 54 home run balls during games, 183 foul balls, and four ground rule doubles, and lots of game used balls that have been tossed up. My 10,000th ball, actually, that's the last ball that I got just last night in Baltimore. That was the ball that ended the second inning, a Wellington Castillo strikeout off Erasmo Ramirez. And that ball was tossed around as the Mariners jogged off the field. It ended up in the hands of Robinson Cano, and he threw it to me behind the third base dugout. And that's a pretty cool ball to have. Obviously, it would have been nice to catch a home run.
Sure.
But you know what? I had a friend at that game who snagged a home run ball in the first inning, and it turned out to be Jonathan Scope's 500th career hit, and he wanted that ball back. And I was kind of glad that I didn't snag that ball. I mean, I wasn't.
Because you would have wanted, because that was your 10,000th. You would have wanted to keep that one, right?
It would have turned into like a disaster in the media. I would have been called this awful person because, like, give the guy his ball. It's like, I had friends joking with me about that. Like, you know, you're probably going to catch some walk-off grand slam that the player's going to want. But thankfully, there was no controversy surrounding number 10,000. And I'm really glad to have that ball and looking forward to getting 10,001 tomorrow at Yankee Stadium.
Well, is that part of the reason why you were where you were during that game? Because if you're over on the third base or first baseline, most likely you're going to get a foul ball or a player heading off the field is going to toss you a ball. Were you avoiding the possibility of a commemorative ball that somebody else wanted back by staying out of the bleachers?
Not really. I mean, the day before, Adam Jones hit his 250th career home run, so that's one that he would have wanted back. I think that went to center field and nobody got it. And Robinson Cano himself is only a few away from a milestone. So I was kind of like, you know, normally I'd want to catch those balls and I'm always happy to give them back. But I really wanted number 10,000 to be a game used ball. And I set myself up nicely so that I began the day needing three. Mm-hmm. And I got a couple of pregame toss-ups. It rained. There was no batting practice, so it was pretty slow. But the players still have to come out and warm up. And when the game started, I just needed one ball. So that's exactly where I wanted to be. And sure, it would have been nice to sit in the outfield all night and try to catch a home run, but I didn't want to run the risk of not getting one and then starting the next day one ball short, and then I run in the stadium and find a ball sitting in the left field bleachers at the start of batting practice, and that's number 10,000.
Yeah.
Kind of anticlimactic. So, yeah, I was going for a foul ball or like a third out ball, and it worked out.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So what's next? You're at Yankee Stadium tomorrow night. Will you be back out in the bleachers then?
Yeah, I'll be sitting in the outfield tomorrow at Yankee Stadium trying to catch a home run. It's actually been a few months since I caught a home run, so I feel like my luck has been awful lately.
Well, how much of it is luck and how much of it is it skill, Zach? On the HBO special, they showed you with a computer and charts. I think do you have a breakdown on every player, where they're likely to hit him, where it's most likely to be hit in the stadium that you're in? Do you look at that throughout the game or do you study it before the game? What's your plan as you're in the stadium?
I rarely look at that stuff. And when I do look at it, maybe 10 times over the course of the season, I'd say 9 times are just for fun. It's fun to pull up a chart of the stadium and get a little scatter plot with colored dots where all the home runs land, or you can look at a particular player and see where his home runs land. But I basically know that. It's mostly in my head. If I really, really want to catch a certain player's home run at a certain stadium, then it might help to look at that. But that's rare to have an opportunity like that. And most of the time anyway, if a guy is going for a certain home run, there's generally just one particularly good spot in a stadium that's good regardless of who's batting, just because there's a walkway there, you know. And let's say the guy hits most of his home runs more than 400 feet, like Joey Gallo. But let's say the walkway is 380. Am I not going to stand in the walkway where I have all the room because he's more likely to hit it over my head? No, of course I'm going to go to the spot with the most space. But I do think about this stuff. But again, having been to 53 different major league stadiums and more than 1,500 games and caught all these balls, and even playing baseball up into college a little bit, like a lot of it is just instinct at this point. So I don't need the charts.
What is the so when I'm looking at these numbers, you told me so 54 home run balls, 183 foul balls, and 4 ground rule doubles. So we're not even at 250 live action balls. The rest have either been game used balls that were thrown to you or balls you got during batting practice or somehow some other way. So I imagine that out of the 10,000 with only 250 being like that, what's the split on balls that are just tossed to you versus balls you got during batting practice? Is like 70% stuff that you've gotten that was hit batting practice home run, basically?
You know, I don't know the exact breakdown. I have a very detailed log of how I got every ball going back to baseball number 2000. I know the exact lifetime total, but I didn't keep track of how I got each one before number 2000.
Mm-hmm.
So I could go back if I really wanted to spend that time. It's not in some fancy spreadsheet. It's just basically like a gigantic Word document where I just hit enter and type a new line of info for each ball.
Sure.
But yeah, a lot of the baseballs come my way in batting practice. A lot of them are home runs that I catch on the fly. Some are home runs that land in the seats and I pick them up. A lot of toss-ups. I'll find baseballs. I'm always the first one to run inside the stadium. And in some stadiums, the guards and the ushers are out there picking them up and either keeping them or throwing them back on the field. But in other places, they might just leave them sitting around for fans to find. There's pregame throwing between batting practice and the game, whether it's the position players in front of the dugout or in the shallow outfield, or it's the bullpen catchers and the starting pitchers. So there's lots of opportunities throughout the day. Infield warm-up balls, outfield warm-up balls. You can get balls from the home plate umpire when he walks off the field after a game. So that's what makes this so much fun. It's not like you just have to show up and catch a home run once in a lifetime and that's it. Yeah. You can get there early and use all kinds of strategies and go to a different place at a different time throughout the day in a stadium and really have lots of chances to catch baseballs.
So you've gotten 10,000 over the years at the games. How many do you actually have in a house, and where do you keep them all?
I know that I own more than 6,000 of them, and I probably own more than 7,000. I didn't used to give baseballs away when I was much younger, but now I actually give most of them away. I'll keep the home run balls for myself, and most game use stuff I'll keep. And even if I get a toss up from a player that I really like, I might mark the ball just in a very small way so I can always remember who threw it to me. But yeah, a lot of them I give away to kids at games, and I send some directly to the charity. They're largely in storage not too far from where I live in New York City. I have my best home run balls in my apartment here in little glass cubes tucked away. So that's just kind of how I store it. I actually pulled out over 6,000 baseballs this past off season, rounded up a bunch of friends, and we built a huge pyramid of baseballs, over 6,400 balls. And I had that filmed for YouTube. So, I mean, that took all day. It was pretty tiring, but fun. So it's just fun to do something wacky with them every now and then.
Yeah, I'll imagine. So, So real quick here, we're about to wrap up. Best and worst stadium to get balls in.
You know what? The two stadiums in Chicago are awfully difficult. Now, with guaranteed rate, they obviously don't draw huge crowds, but the stadium only opens 90 minutes early. It's
really
aggravating. You cannot even see the home team take batting practice, which just drives me nuts. It's not a very fan-friendly way to run the stadium. You run in there, and the visitors are already taking BP, and then they're done, you know, 15 or 20 minutes later, so not many opportunities, although the layout of the stadium is pretty good. And then at Wrigley, it's packed all the time. You can't get out to the bleachers unless you have a bleacher ticket.
Right.
So access is very restricted. And Joe Maddon hates batting practice. The Cubs don't even hit that much. So I have a tough time personally in Chicago. But San Francisco is tough because it's so crowded and there's like a culture of basically catching baseballs in the stands. Barry Bonds kind of kicked that off by hitting all those historic home runs years ago. City Field is pretty tough for me just because of the configuration of the stadium. So it really just depends, but crowds change, the rules change, the gate opening times can be adjusted from year to year. And again, that's what makes it fun because there's always new challenges and circumstances.
I imagine Wrigley's one of the toughest ones to catch a home run ball because you cannot move around very well in Wrigley's bleachers unless they're very empty. There's not walkways or things like that where you can really get around. Have you ever caught a home run ball during a game at Wrigley?
I have not. I've had a few land in my section at Wrigley, but I've never caught a home run there. I did catch a foul ball a few years back. I think it was an Aramis Ramirez foul ball. But, I mean, and another thing that makes it tough in the bleachers at Wrigley is that it's just general admission. There's no assigned seating. So you get a huge crowd waiting to get inside the stadium, and it fills up fast right at the start of BP. It's practically like what most other stadiums would look like for the game, just as far as tons of people blocking rows, sitting down, holding their spots. So really the best place to catch a home run at Wrigley is outside the stadium.
Yeah, have you done that before? Have you caught them on Waveland or Sheffield?
I've gotten batting practice balls there, but nothing during a game. But I got to give a shout-out to those guys on Waveland who've been out there for years.
Yeah.
They've caught more home runs than I have during games.
And it's not very easy to do anymore since they've added the video boards and stuff.
That's true. Far fewer balls make it out. But then again, you have people talking about, are the balls juiced this year and what have they done? And And I've witnessed it myself. I'm seeing home runs regularly land in places that I used to only see them land like a few times over the course of an entire season. It's amazing.
Interesting.
So I don't know what's going on.
Is there a foul ball, home run ball, any ball that like you still want to catch? Is there a goal? Like you mentioned San Francisco. Have you ever gone out in the Bay and tried to catch one out there?
No, I was actually planning to do a video out there in a kayak this season, but that fell through at the last second. But next year, I'm going to try to do that. I know a guy who's out there all the time, and he has an extra kayak for me whenever I'm ready. So that's definitely on my list. I would love to catch a World Series home run, an All-Star home run.
That would be cool.
Maybe a player's 100th home run or 300th. I mean, I got the 3,000 hit, obviously, and I've gotten three different players' first career home runs. But, you know, I'm just always looking at milestones and who's a few home runs away from a round number. Occasionally, I will book a flight and travel somewhere to try to catch a ball if I feel that the layout of a certain stadium is favorable for moving around and catching the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Anaheim when Pujols hit 600. I wasn't that close to it. And I was in Miami when Ken Griffey Jr. hit number 600. I was within 5 feet of that ball. So, you know, it's a lot of close calls and near misses, and sometimes luck is on my side.
Zach Campbell has a website, zachcampbell.com. He's written three books on baseball, a couple of them on how to get the ball and get to it. Will you also be hired out still, Zach? Do you still do that? I know in the past people could hire you to go to a game with them and teach them your tricks. Is that still something you do?
Absolutely, yeah. I call it Watch with Zach. So people can just search for that. But I mean, I give out tons of free advice in the books and on my blog and my YouTube channel. People can check out all that stuff for free. I mean, you can go to a library and read the books for free. But yeah, a lot of people do like to spend an entire day with me and hang out and kind of watch me in action and learn that way. So that's why I started up that Watch with Zach business. It's been really fun.
Well, Zach, we checked in with you after you caught A-Rod's 3,000th hit and now after you got your 10,000th ball from a game. So I look forward to the next milestone so I can chat with you again.
What is it going to take to get back on the air? Jeez.
I don't know. I think somebody's 500th home run. Are any of those coming up?
Who's going to be the next to 500? Maybe Miguel Cabrera. That's tough. He hits them to all fields. You know, do you play him oppo? Do you play him to pole?
Got your work cut out for you, Zach.
I got to check the charts.
All right, buddy. We'll talk again soon. Thanks so much for jumping on the air.
Thank you. Great to talk to you.